and welcome to This Is My Son. I'm your host, Kathy Fisher, and with me today, I have one of the podcast greats. You might know her from I Haven't Seen That, which some might say, I don't know who, but some might say that's maybe a sister podcast to this podcast.
I'll accept that, yeah.
All right. See, it's been officially endorsed.
Yeah.
Yes. It is your pal, Whitney Reynolds. Hi, Whitney.
Hi. I'm really happy to be on your podcast.
We're happy to have you.
The minute you said it was happening, I was like, I got to get on there. I got to land the This Is My Son account.
Got to get on that cast.
Got to get on that cast.
No, this is something I wonder because I've told other people who might not be like in the loop, the name of the podcast, and they didn't immediately understand what it was.
See, I feel this podcast is much more easy to explain in one sentence than my podcast, which has almost no concept.
But, you know, in that way, it makes it a little bit more easy to explain. It's basically just, you know, like buddies shooting the shit.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
And there's definitely no other podcast like that. So
no. This is a totally novel concept. You landed on a whole new concept.
Yeah.
Which is buddies shooting the shit. And since then, there have been a lot of imitators.
The difference with my podcast is it's not all white dudes. It's only one white dude, sometimes two.
But, you know, not always.
Not always. Yeah.
Anyways, so you were very excited to be the guest on the second episode of This Is My Son.
I hope I don't fuck this up and I can come back a lot. I got a lot of sons.
Oh, I know, I do sons. Too. Well, I guess the whole premise of the show is predicated on me having a lot of sons, but... You had a lot of sons and mm-hmm, took you mm-hmm. a little bit of time to figure out which one you wanted to pick first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So could you go ahead and introduce your son to us?
My son is those lovable lads from Liverpool, the British-Irish boy band One Direction.
Now, tell us a little bit first how you got into One Direction, how that became your son.
For me, it was a slow burn. They did not, you know, they were not immediately my sons. I started a couple years ago. I just started listening to pop music. That's just what I started listening to. Like, hey, I'm going to throw on Pandora top 40 hits and just listen to it. And I'd be like, hey, what's this jam? I like this song. Oh, it's One Direction. Maybe sometimes at work, I'll just go to Spotify and just listen to a bunch of One Direction. And it was a slow build. I mostly had learned about the existence of One Direction by seeing a picture of Zayn in drag on Tumblr, and I said, I need to know more right now about that. And that led me to watching the video for Best Song Ever, which I then proceeded to watch, I don't know, 400 times? Because it's a great song, and Zayn is in drag and is dancing with himself at one point, and Zayn is beautiful, so, you know, there for that. So I was a casual enjoyer of the music of One Direction, did not actually know much about the boys themselves, was not really sure of most of their names. I knew there was Zayn, I knew there was a Harry, other than that it was very vague. But there was a night when I was like, I'm going to watch the One Direction documentary, This Is Us. And I knew in my heart, once I do this, everything will change. And it did. It did. I went full direction over the deep end, and that was in mid November. And since then, it's all different now. They are full on my sons.
this is your life.
I'm right now in my living room looking at where I have two different One Direction calendars on my wall.
Wow.
And I spent last night with my head upon a One Direction pillowcase. I would like to state that these are not things I bought for myself. These were all presents, but I accepted them.
But carefully. From people who love you and understand what you enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so as your assignment to me, for me to get to know your son, you assigned me both their album Midnight Memories, as well as the aforementioned documentary. So I've consumed them and internalized them over the past week or so. And I guess I'll start off with. I guess a thought, one thing that sort of occurred to me while you're saying that is I did not watch any of the music videos for any of the songs, and now I'm thinking that may have been a mistake.
Most of their music videos are really bad.
Oh, really? Not even...
Yeah, they're not...
So, just specifically the one for Best Song Ever that has Zayn Address?
No, I mean, I've watched all of them dozens of times, but they're bad.
Oh, okay.
It's very perplexing. It's like, I don't understand why these are all... You should watch the one with Danny DeVito in it.
Oh my god, there's one with Danny DeVito? How could you not have told me about this? You left a critical...
I was saving it for the show.
Oh wow, this is a huge bomb you've dropped.
Yeah,
but
Danny DeVito in a desert as the director of their new music video.
But so I listened to the album several times, and I watched the documentary. And I'll say this, also I'll give my first top-level impression, and then we can start sort of probing deeper. I'll say this, their songs are extremely listenable pop songs. Throughout the week, I've had them, like, various ones stuck in my head, or just running through my head occasionally, almost constantly.
Can you name any of the, like, any particulars that stuck in your brain most of all?
I don't know. It sort of it goes through a bunch of them. I mean, like, Best Song Ever, obviously, it's got a very catchy, although, like, I don't think I like it that much, but the chorus is very catchy. It's lilting and repetitive.
Yeah. I sang that song at karaoke last night.
Yeah? It go over well?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I would say You and I, probably.
Yeah.
Couple times. I'm looking at the track list now and trying to remember.
But it's a good one. That's got that good high note from Zayn.
Well, see, here's another thing that I found even after watching the documentary, I don't know at any given time which of the boys is singing. I don't. Their voices aren't distinct enough.
Now that's a deep level. You got to be in pretty deep before you start being able to tell that.
Yeah.
That's not. Yeah. It takes a while.
Yeah. I will. Yeah. I don't expect to get there yet. But there's definitely There's a slight sameness to them. They have the standard pop musician boy voice, I guess. Yeah, there's a commonality. So there's not a huge range. They seem to be charming individuals. More than others. Lovable, sure.
Sounds like somebody has a favorite.
Well, I will say from the documentary, I think I'm a Harry Styles fan more than a Zayn fan.
I think most people, you know, when they enter in, Harry starts out as everybody's favorite.
Really? You don't think Zayn is one of the favorites?
Well, Zayn is a very complicated issue at the moment, so.
we'll get into that in a sec, right?
Yeah.
But it seems, I mean, Harry Styles seems to be more of the charmer. He has the bigger personality.
He's a charming boy.
Yeah. He's
if you had gotten truly deep, if I had told you to take, like, the deep cuts, I would have had you watch all of their X Factor auditions.
Oh, wow.
And you could just be unnerved by how charming a 16-year-old Harry Styles is. It's just kind of not right.
Like, this is a little bit too much.
It's like, that is too much charisma for a 16-year-old. I'm uncomfortable as an adult woman.
I was looking at his Wikipedia page, and apparently he formerly dated one of the X Factor hosts, I guess, who was, like, 14 years older than him.
He did.
That's a sheer force of charm. A triumph of charm to be able to achieve that at such a young age. But yeah, I would say from the documentary, Zayn is a little bit of a cipher to me. I don't know what's going on in there.
Zayn's a complicated complicated fellow, and he's you know, subject of a lot of turmoil and the whatnot. He was my entry into One Direction, and I still, you know, my heart beats hard for Zayn. I can't be mad at him. I know he hurt a lot of people, but
he's a very beautiful boy. But so
he's the most beautiful of my sons.
So for people who have not been tapped into the recent news, what exactly is it that Zayn did to hurt so many people?
Well, Zayn left the group. Mm. It's coming up on the year anniversary of when Zayn left the group. And I remember when it happened. It was funny because, you know, since I was so known on Twitter for talking about Zayn. Not really talking about One Direction, just specifically talking about Zayn. I went out for lunch that day, and I got back to and I came back to literally like 5 a.m. windows open, you know, waiting for my take. It's like, did you hear about Zayn? Did you hear that Zayn left One Direction? And I was like, oh my god. And I'm like, well, I just want the best for Zayn. And now Zayn, he's a big boy, and he came out with his own big boy single that has done very well. Where it's a big boy sexy song where he sings about sex and says a cuss word.
Sex. Ooh. So Zane is sort of breaking free to start his adult projects, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's a big grown-up boy now.
Well, do you think...
I'm very proud of him.
So...
He is my son.
Yeah,
One Direction is my son, and Zane is also my
son. He's your sub-son, is what you're saying.
No, they're equal sons.
They're equal and separate.
Yeah. There's, like, some sort of complicated math diagram that involves, like... I mean, you could say I even have, like, three sons. There's the One Direction that is a quintet. That's one son. And then the quartet One Direction that carried on without Zane. And then my actual son, Zane.
This is, like, a whole drama. It's so many complexities going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, One Direction is deep.
Well, so in the negative column...
Oh, yeah.
For One Direction. I'll also say, none of their songs in particular stand out to me as being particularly good. As like, wow, this is a really great... I mean, I'm sure they're not as heavily involved in writing the songs. It seems like...
Actually, are they? Well, Midnight Memories is the album where they started to be heavily involved in writing the songs.
Okay. Is that to its detriment, having not listened to an earlier album?
Oh no, it's too advanced. Okay. This is why. Well, when you first told me to pick an album, I was like, oh no, I can't choose, and I was like, no, Midnight Memories.
So to you, it's a totally stands out as being the best of their albums.
Well, I looked at the track list and I was like, this has like all my favorites on it.
Yeah,
got that Story of My Life, Happily.
Yeah,
best song ever.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe here's another thing. There's not a lot of edge to any of them.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They're pretty much all like, I love you. And this is a song about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the gist of it, pretty much, across the board.
Well, it is an album by, I believe, 19 to 20-year-olds.
So. Yeah, but 19 to 20-year-olds is like prime angst zone, right? I mean, their lives are just too perfect at this point. But you'd think that'd be a good opportunity to get some real teen drama.
Well, as you could have, since you watched the documentary, you see that's they're not selling drama.
That's
they're
true.
Not selling angst. They're selling out stadiums with for girls who can be in love with them.
Yeah, I mean,
so there's always there's like the there might be a song about heartbreak, but in your heart you're thinking, oh, yes, but then he will fall in love with me.
Yeah, exactly. So that I think touches in on one of the things that I was feeling while watching that documentary. And there's a certain amount of like, I definitely identify with it because one of my problems from my adolescence through now has been, serial crushes on famous people. And mm-hmm. I totally 100% understand how that feels. But then I also know the, sort of awful negative side of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it can be, so it's an addictive feeling, but it's also ultimately heartbreaking feeling, right? Because it's you enter the realm of constant fantasizing of, yeah, well, what if they could fall in love with me type of situation? And then...
And then especially in the our era of how current celebrity exists, there's always, since we have so much access mm-hmm. and get so much information, there's always the chance, it's like, oh, then, turns out your fave is problematic.
Yeah, your fave is problematic, but on the other hand, they're on Twitter and they could see the stuff you're saying to them. They could respond to you. Like, they could be aware of your existence.
Yeah.
It's like... Sometimes.
Well, if after you, whenever one of them wades through the sea of people tweeting daddy.
Yeah, every once in a while. Maybe if they have that filtered out by their problems.
I myself have started tweeting mommy at them. Because I'm a dick.
Yeah.
Speaking of celebrity and One Direction and how... In this past, 3 months where I've gone in deep, part of my, indoctrination is I've just been kind of, catching up on what's happened in the past 5 years of fandom mm-hmm. since I've arrived so late.
Yeah.
I've arrived basically at the end of all things because now they're on hiatus and, hiatus can sometimes mean break up and never come back and we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gone through various, various tumblers of adult One Direction fangirls and gone back to the furthest page and just read through from the beginning to take the whole adventure, mm-hmm. but in a condensed time frame.
Yeah.
There was definitely a month or two when I would just come home from work and be like, I'm going to do something else tonight. Nope. I just looked at One Direction tumblers for the entire night until I went to bed.
Uh-huh.
I did that for like a month. And yeah, it was great. Fine. I'm normal.
So I assume that a lot of them follow sort of the same kind of roller coaster path, right? Because they
are
textured by the time period they pass through.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, various, you know, events that have happened, things that have, you know, people who have been dated, people, you know, controversies here and there, new albums, new songs, new haircuts.
The haircuts like markers. Oh, I know where we are now. In context. Got a haircut switch.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, how do you feel about that element, the sort of fangirl element? I mean, because I felt, you know, when you see the huge, you know, sold out stadiums of screaming teen girls, like, what does that evoke for you?
Well, for me, I'm a huge defender of anything that teen girls love.
Yeah.
Even if it's something, you know, shitty, like Twilight. I'm like, you know, this is, because things that teen girls care about are just as important as anything else, and society's really eager to deride them and talk about how shitty they are.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why I've been like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm 33 years old and I love One Direction. Uh-huh. Come fight me.
Yeah.
But I think, and that's sort of, you know, it's just sort of a natural part of being a teen girl, is it's when you're, you know, you're feeling at your most passionate, you have these things to focus on, and you know, One Direction are less non-threatening than other boy bands of the past.
Hmm.
They have their, you know, they have tattoos and stuff.
Ooh.
And you can look on the internet and see them curse.
Ooh. And they tend to be from like, you know, working class northern English / Irish families, which makes them a little bit edgier than.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that did me in when I finally did watch the documentary. I was like, oh no, you have accents.
Yeah, you can't tell from the music.
I had no feelings about Niall, and then I was like, oh no, he's Irish, right? Oops, I love Niall now.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will say that I was surprised, because again, like, I came into it fully like, yeah, I'd heard a couple of their songs on the radio, but had not been following anything about them. I'm like, oh wait, these are they're ethnic, and by ethnic I mean they have Northern English and Irish accents.
Zane, to come back to Zane, I find his accent in particular to be delightful.
Yeah. So is there any deeper thing? I mean, are there any deeper elements? Is it just a pure? Is it pure for you? Does it feel pure? Does it feel
No, it's not pure at all. I read a lot of fan fiction.
Well, no, not in that sense, right? Is it? So, by pure, I sort of mean, is it something that you can love and appreciate almost without, without any caveats?
Yeah, there's no irony. Like when I put on. Like, and I will put on, you know, a One Direction album. I've spent many days at work, so like, what am I going to listen to? I will just listen to the entire One Direction discography.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives me a pure enjoyment, because I am a pop music liker, and they make really solid pop music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pure enjoyment of their musical output in particular, which I understand why a lot of people are like, it's pop music, and what? There's nothing there. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't need a lot. I need sounds that make my brain bones feel good, and they give me that. And then also I get to look at GIFs of them being cute,
okay,
or hot. So there's nothing, there's, yeah,
so yeah, it's,
I mean, it's it can be a little difficult sometimes, because it does get so emotional. And so I mean, I've calmed a little over this roller coaster. Like, it's no longer taking up my every waking thought, but yeah, it's definitely a daily. I, you know, all day I dream about One Direction. Adida Wund.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I'd like to give an exclusive.
Really? You got exclusive?
This Is My Son?
You got exclusive?
I got exclusive for This Is My Son.
Oh, okay. Lay it on. Because
on Twitter, I've been very, very mum about saying who my favorite is.
Oh, well, I just assumed it was Zane.
Well, no.
I was wrong?
Zane is no longer in the group. That is.
Oh, so now that he's out.
But even then, no, even if I'm going to, you know, Even if you pretend the One Direction of a year ago.
Okay.
This is something I've said is subscriber-only content, that if people wanted to know, they had to PayPal me $5, which no one has. But I'm willing to give the This Is My Son, the Scloosie. My favorite is Liam.
Really?
Yeah.
So could you go a little deeper into why?
He's hot and stupid, and I love that.
Now
he's a real sweet dope, and I like that.
I'm just gonna verify.
He's like a big dumb dog.
I'm verifying that the one that I thought was Liam is Liam. I noticed when watching the documentary, I think he has the best voice of all of the group.
He and Zayn, I think, have the best voices.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
because I think it's a very sort of unconventional choice.
Yeah, he's apparently a lot of. I had an experience recently where I was at a bar with coworkers, and they started playing Teenage Dirtbag, which is in the documentary. They perform Teenage Dirtbag, and that was when I was like, oh buddy, I'm having a moment. One Direction is playing Teenage Dirtbag, and I'm in my 30s. This is things are happening. And I was in the middle of tweeting, wow, so weird that this bar is playing a cover of One Direction's Teenage Dirtbag. And then I heard a coworker, like, a couple feet away, making the same joke to herself. Mm-hmm. And I just basically ran over, and I was like, we have to talk. And she was like, no, you don't understand. I'm a Liam girl. And I said, me too. And then we hugged, and it became a very intense moment. So I think she's your best friend. Yeah, it is, yeah. Being a Liam girl is more uncommon, but I don't know. I'm new here. I'm not, still figuring it out.
You know, and I think there's a certain maturity that being an older fan of something that like teen girls predominantly like grants you, because you've sort of, you've been around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a little bit more perspective on, what to look for in your favorite member of a boy band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm now thinking back to, I think, my boy band of the day, of my era, was Backstreet Boys. I was not an NSYNC person. I was a Backstreet Boys girl. And I don't know now, looking back, what they all had awful haircuts, but, God.
I skipped the Backstreet and NSYNC and 98 Degrees and O-Town. None of that yet, but so I was back for the New Kids day. I was big into the New Kids as a very small person, so that was my origin in boy bands.
Boy bands. Yeah. I got confused. I was looking at pictures of Backstreet Boys online.
They're not as cute.
Yeah, they're from Orlando, Florida.
I did. I was recently reading a lot of Wikipedia entries about boy bands. And I got to say the One Direction origin story feels a little less skeevy than the Backstreet and NSYNC origin stories. Probably nobody was just having to be manipulated by a known reptiloid Simon Cowell more than anything else.
Wait, so you're saying it's more skeevy? One Direction is more skeevy because Simon
Cowell
did it?
Less skeevy. No.
Why is that less skeevy?
Well, if he is a reptiloid, nobody was like taken advantage of in any possible sense.
I guess I wasn't as aware of how Backstreet Boys came to be.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of. I think the guy who put those bands together is now in prison.
Oh God,
yeah, for various things.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, it's I know a lot about.
See, now you're tarnishing all of my memories.
You're just gonna be left with those midnight memories.
Oh, midnight memories. Nah, I don't think that's the thing though. Is they feel the songs feel fleeting.
Well, sure.
Like I don't expect Midnight Memories is gonna be what they're playing 20 years from now on the adult contemporary stations.
I mean,
they might be playing Best Song Ever. They might play like You Don't Know You're Beautiful.
Oh yeah, Midnight Memories is it's a more of a deep cut.
I don't know. It's the title. It's the titular track.
I don't think it was ever a single. No wait, they did make a video of it. It's not a good video. None of them are. But now I think you should definitely go watch them.
Do they ever dance or try to dance?
They try. They're not good at it.
It's just deliberately bad.
Zayn was almost like kicked off X Factor for not wanting to dance. I've learned so much. I've done so much studying.
So you know you've got all the knowledge to make you worthy.
Yeah. Of my sons.
Of your boys.
My boys.
Well, I think maybe I'm ready to rate your son.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
Are you
I forgot
ready?
That there was going to be a rating. Oh, God.
There's a rating, but every rating is on its own scale.
Okay.
So, boy bands are rated on a scale of 1 to 5 Aaron Carters.
Mm-hmm.
I give the concept of One Direction 3 Aaron Carters.
Okay.
So that's a strong showing. If you look at the stats,
yeah.
Not everyone gets that many Aaron Carters.
Best song ever. It was your best song ever. It was your best song ever.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me. Saying get that together, come back.
All right, welcome back to This Is My Son. We are entering into our second segment in which we talk about the son that I gave back to Whitney in response to One Direction. And I guess I'll go ahead and introduce. I after we had to go through several things because the problem is we have, I think, too much of an overlapping taste when it comes to music, but eventually landed on Bare Naked Ladies, whom I listened to. Well, I would say my history with them is I listened to them on the radio like people did in the 90s, as individuals did in the 90s. All the hits. You got your Old Apartments. You got your Pinch Me, your 1 Week, all the major ones. And then, meanwhile, being mocked by my sister, who did not listen to popular songs on the radio, until one day her then-boyfriend made her, as people did, burned her a mix CD, or either a mix CD or a copy CD of either one of Bare Naked Ladies' albums or one mix that had several of them on there. And she immediately became a huge fan because she doesn't care about my opinion, she just cares about her boyfriend's opinions. There's no resentment.
Is this an older sister?
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, through sheer force of will, she got my entire family to become fans of BNL. And ended up, you know, going to multiple concerts. I've probably been to more Bare Naked Ladies concerts than any other band because they put on a good show. And I still love them dearly. I think they're a good band. They've had some hard times, and you know, like One Direction, I'll say this: they lost someone.
I did in my studies. In my studies, I made a note that they also went from a quintet to a quartet.
Yeah, there's so many parallels.
Yeah, there are really
so many.
Who's the Zayn of Bare Naked Ladies? in whatever way you want to interpret that.
You know, I think it's the same. I think the one who left, Steve, I believe him to have been the Zayn of Bare Naked Ladies, because he was in a lot of ways basically the brooding emotional one,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Ed, who is the more you know cheerful upbeat one, who I would put as the Harry Styles ish
mm-hmm.
figure.
And then those other guys.
And then the other Who guys. Are they? The other guys, Jim, Tyler, and Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. I know all of them. I know the names.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sort of blend into the background. I love all their albums. Well, actually, you know, I haven't listened to their recent one that recently came out. Ever since Steve left a few years ago, I have not really been as engaged. But they're classics. I'm a very
How many albums have they come out with since in the post Steve era?
I think post Steve 2 so far. Mm-hmm. I've heard one of them. But I haven't heard their most recent one. And the one that came out immediately after Steve left was, they had a couple songs that were, I think, pretty not very veiled fuck you, Steve songs on there.
Say One Direction's post Zayn album also maybe has a little bit of a couple of how dare you.
A little bit of anger and resentment on
A little there. Bit of anger, maybe some sadness. You can, you know, however you want to interpret it. My experience with Bare Naked Ladies, I feel like my first exposure was like some music video off of Gordon that they played on like Kids, Fox, something. Somebody was green. So I heard some of that stuff. But when I was listening, you assigned me Stunt and Born on a Pirate Ship. And I was listening to Stunt, and I was like, wait, I think I definitely had this album. Because as I was listening to it, I was like, oh, wait, I'm singing along with a bunch of the songs, and I know all of the words. Like, I was originally taking it, I was like, oh, yeah, I definitely know Light in My Room. I definitely know, no, wait, I know most of this album. I've listened to this album maybe a lot.
Okay.
Well, the thing is, I had a Bare Naked Ladies really reminds me of a person that I now hate.
Oh.
But Bare Naked Ladies is such a good band that that association does not bring it down.
Well, that feels good. That makes me happy.
And I, for them, they always sort of, I was, my favorite band when I was, a tween teen was They Might Be Giants. Hmm. And I feel like they sort of, like, they get in, kind of put together in sort of that kind of quirky rock kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're different, obviously. But that was always sort of association. So it's, you know, my introduction to them was the sillier songs like, If I Had $1 Million and 1 Week is pretty silly. I did learn something.
You think it's silly? It's silly? Yeah.
It's a little silly. I did learn something in my research before this podcast that Ben and Jerry's released an ice cream flavor in Canada called If I Had 1 Million Flavors. But that was sold in America as Everything But The, which was actually my favorite Ben & Jerry's flavor for
I also love Everything
ever.
But The.
And this whole time, I was eating Bare Naked Ladies ice cream. It's a Bare Naked
Ladies ice cream.
If I Had 1 Million Flavors.
Wow. That is a new insight.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if my sister knows that.
Yeah, you got a new thing to drop.
Shit. This is a huge bomb. Is this a Skloosy?
No, this is
fine.
It's a Wikipedia Skloosy.
If you haven't read Wikipedia,
this is a total Skloosy. I also, my previous Bare Naked Ladies experience is that around the same time, probably got it from the same person who I now hate, is that she was really into college a cappella, so she gave me a bunch of college a cappella, probably in the same, like, mix CD or burned CD as all the Bare Naked Ladies. But there was a college a cappella cover of I'm in Love with a McDonald's Girl, which is not on either of these albums, but
I don't know that I've even heard it.
Oh, wow.
I'm in Love with a McDonald's Girl?
Yeah.
Really?
I was reading through Wikipedia. I was like, "Oh, right. I remember that song." Yeah.
Huh.
So my experience listening to these songs again was, especially with Stunt, I was like, yeah, these are all, it's a lot of jams, you know?
Yeah, no, I picked the two albums because I thought each one has a good mix of different
types
of songs.
Now I wonder, should I have listened to Born on a Pirate Ship first? Because I realized,
probably.
Yeah, I did it in an opposite order of release date. So I maybe made a mistake. But I was kind of going with the more familiar ground first.
It's okay. I understand. I think it still works either way. They weren't actually released that far apart. Things like 4 year gap between them or something.
Do you think that 1 Week introduced a whole generation of white teens to rap?
I don't know. Does it count as rap?
I don't think it does.
I don't think it does either. It's a little too, like, if you've seen Ed, there's absolutely nothing street about him.
Well, last night I went to karaoke, and I mentioned that I was going to be doing this podcast the next day, and that I was going to, you know, be talking about Bare Naked Ladies. And one of my friends said, oh, I thought about doing 1 Week, but I didn't trust in my ability to rap. And I think that was the first time I ever thought of that section of the... It's a lot of saying things
rap.
Very quickly.
Yeah, it's just quick words.
Quick words.
Spoken word song.
But to, I don't know, maybe to like a Canadian teen.
Maybe yeah.
Well,
I would say
in Canada that is rap, but Canada also gave us snow.
That's true. They invented snow.
I meant the rapper snow.
Well, both.
Yeah.
To be fair, both.
Yeah, they also invented snow.
Snow had not been present in the rest of the world until Canada exported it.
I can definitely name some faves. Light Up My Room is very good. Call and Answer. When You Dream. All good.
Really? When You Dream is such a...
I realized, some might say
a boring song.
As I listened, I kind of like the slow jams. Kind of the more... Okay. The more low key, and you posed the question beforehand to figure out if I liked Ed or Steven songs more, and as they are the two vocalists, if I am correct.
Although the album Born on a Pirate Ship has, I believe, two very rare Jim songs.
I was very interested in those. I liked those two a lot. In the Drink was definitely very, very much a jam for me. I made note of that. So I really, part of it was, it's like, oh, hey, this is something different. This is a different voice. But yeah, I think I go for the Steven songs.
Go for the Steven. Steven is definitely good. He's good at the ballads. Like, so for, you know, Break Your Heart and Call and Answer are both very, you know, vocally, they require a lot of vocal power. Yeah. To sing, and he does.
I think there is an element to Ed's voice, as I determined in my listens, that I think I may have picked up in my teen singing. There's kind of like quirky is just a weird word, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Sounds a little funny.
Ed is, he's got a little bit of a twang.
Yeah, that, you know, combined with the They Might Be Giants listening, definitely influenced the way I myself. As a youth, sang and still sometimes sing to this day.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, I tend to lean more towards Ed, but I think it's more of a personality thing and his affinity for like banjo songs and more country-ish songs that I like. Steve can be a little emotionally fraught sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now this is like the thing for me is that I'm very bad at listening to lyrics, which is possibly why it's so easy for me to enjoy pop music. Like, yeah, to absorb lyrics, I kind of have to, you know, I've either listened to a song 5 times or I have to sit down and just close my eyes and really focus at it or be actually looking at lyrics. So for listening to these, I definitely did, you know, pull up the lyrics for a couple of them to, you know, fully get, like,
fully understand
the BNL experience. And they got some good-ass lyrics.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's definitely one of the major points.
But for most of my enjoyment, it was like, this guy's a... Make some jams. They got a lot of space guitar sounding shit.
So, what's an example of a space guitar song?
I did not make a note, but it seemed like Stunt had a lot of like really twangly space guitar going on.
Yeah, I could see that.
But then Pirate Ship, there was a one song with some fucking flute. Got some gentle flute cuddles on one song and. Some rad violin. It's thrown in a lot of exciting instrumentation for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is...
Well, so I sort of want to... Oh,
yeah, I honestly... I have very little negative to say about your son.
Well, it makes me
your
very
son is
happy.
A beautiful boy.
He's just a handsome boy.
And you know, it turns out I knew your son a little better than I thought I did. But I did...
You know, sometimes you get a son... He sort of sneaks up on you, and you realize, hey, I knew this song all son all
it's
along.
It's like, yeah, I met your son a long time ago.
I knew that boy.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
This is a good son right here.
Good son. A good Canadian son.
It's just Canadian. They're just like, they're just nice Canadian boys.
I think my,
here's my edge.
Okay, oh yeah, what's your...
Here's the caveat for Bare Naked Ladies for me. So we touched on Steve having left, and we also, in the previous segment, touched on how social media makes fandom seem accessible, because we can communicate with the people we're fans with. So around the time that Steve left the band, he also divorced his longtime wife and married a fan that he had met on MySpace.
Wow. Steve.
Which... It's, you think about it and you're like, wow, you know, to a certain extent, that's the teen fantasy, right? Of like, oh, they realized they loved you all along. But on the other hand, when you think about it as an adult, you're like, that's really skeevy.
Was this a... What's the age?
It was a younger... Yeah, of course. Yes, a younger fan that he had met on
I saw... I still check my LiveJournal friends page. Because why not? Why not look into a... Why not look into the grave? Once or twice a week.
It's still active.
Yeah, I don't know. But now they have a... And they've changed it so there's a sidebar that shows the top stories on Oh No They Didn't, which is the gossip LiveJournal, which I think is the thing that's keeping LiveJournal afloat. And I like it because it shows me, like, headlines... And I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. And it's just like, ah, yes, this keeps me. And then, you know, sometimes it has something about Zayn and I click on it. But there was one recently that was like some Disney star, you know, Clorf Crespo or something had married a fan or something or started dating.
Clorf,
yeah. He was some Vine star or somebody like that who had a fan who
obviously
bothered him for 5 years and he finally started dating her. And I'm like, ooh.
Oh. Do we really have Vine stars in this day and age?
I saw there was like a Vine convention where I think some people got sexually assaulted.
Oh no! Vine! Why?
In a loop.
In a loop over and over again. That's the worst.
Yeah, we do have Vine stars and they all have names like Chad, Crankle.
Clevbins. Scralbus.
Yeah, Scralbus. Scralbus Wank.
And his famous Vine.
He's so good.
Eat that Hot Pocket.
I'd probably watch that a lot. Now, if may allow a brief Vine digression.
Sure.
Had you seen the Vine back at it again at the Krispy Kreme?
No, I don't believe I've seen
it. I had not either until I read an oral history of it due to its 2-year anniversary. The 2-year anniversary of the best Vine ever, back at it again at the Krispy
Kreme. Where do you find these articles?
No. And it was just it's just of a guy, he says back at it again at the Krispy Kreme, and then because he's into tumbling, he does a bunch of flips and then his feet knock the sign down, the Krispy Kreme sign down. It is pretty great. Okay. It's great that explaining the Vine takes longer than watching the Vine.
Well, almost everything takes longer than watching the Vine.
But anyway, are any members of Bare Naked Ladies on Vine? Do they
you
do
know
Vines?
What? I have not checked. I'm not a follower of their social media presence.
Yeah.
I noticed that, incidentally, this week, they were doing a live show at the AV Club, I think promoting their current tour and their recent album. So they're still active, you know, in their diminished state, obviously, but...
I mean, they're all in there. 40s, I guess?
They're all 800 years old.
Yeah. I know one of them had the cancer, and one of them had cocaine.
Yeah, I think Kevin had cancer, got over it.
Good.
Steve might have had cocaine. I don't know.
Troubled
Steve.
I don't
know if he had cocaine. Steve is the would-be rock and roll star.
Do you think Steve and Zayn could do a collabo?
You know what? I think that's a great idea.
I'm really into it.
Let's put it together. I think we need to start a social media campaign. Let's make it happen. Hey, you left the bands that you were part of, leaving all your bandmates, you know, high and dry.
So the pairing ship name would either be Stain or Zeven.
Zeven.
I'm voting Zeven.
I like Zeven. But Stain has a certain appeal. Because
it'd be spelled with a Y, so it kind of looks like a Christian metal band.
But it's not quite Stained, because that's different.
Gonna make it happen. Gonna be the first.
We just call it the Bad Boys tour. Bad Boys of Rock and Roll.
The Bad Big Boys.
Big Bad Boys. Stephen Page and Zayn Malik. Malik? Malik.
Malik. I think it's going to sell out. Like, is there anything bigger than a stadium that they can?
Just the outdoors.
Yeah, they're just going to sell out the outdoors.
All of the outdoors.
The Zeven tour. Oh, it's going to be so good.
And it's such a crossover mix too, right? Because you get the younger fans and then you get, you know, a lot of Bare Naked Ladies fans tend to be older millennials or younger Gen Xer women.
And I think it'll even get further spread, because you'll have like the millennials and the Gen Xers, but then you'll have the youngs who like Zane.
The young youngs.
But then they also bring their parents.
Oh man, so you can have, like, this is covering every demographic.
We just need to get some like Greatest Generation in there.
Bring your grandparents. Well, so, you know, again, another thing, going back to the One Direction documentary, they got Scorsese.
Scorsese's in there talking about how that's very early in the movie, and that's when I started to completely lose my mind.
Like, what is
when,
going
when,
on?
When Scorsese and Chris Rock show up to talk about how great One Direction are. And the movie is, did you notice it's directed by Morgan Spurlock?
I did notice that, yeah.
Who apparently made a much to do about how he was only doing it for the money. Because screw you.
That's not cool. If you're spending time directing a movie, you need to support it.
You need to love those lads.
You know that Spurlock fellow. He's not unproblematic himself. So
he's not my son.
Let's just discard him for the moment.
I don't know if he's anybody's son.
Let's go back. He's not even his mother's son.
No. Spurlock the son free.
The motherless.
Spurlock the unsunned. More like Spurnlock.
Spurnlock! Morgan Spurnblock.
Spurnblock, okay. Yeah.
That's official. Let's change the Wikipedia page.
Morgan.
And that'll be changed. So, I guess one other question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, to me, some of the strengths of Bare Naked Ladies, and something that I think I was looking for or hoping for in One Direction lyrics, was stuff that was a little bit more, had some slightly, you know, less conventional topics.
Mm-hmm. You would not get that on Midnight Memories, but on later albums you would.
Later albums, maybe I just need to listen further.
Yeah.
But like, so like, you know, songs like Straw Hat and Dirty Old Hank, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I noted that down as definitely one of my faves.
Which is about a farmer who falls in love with a singer or a movie star. I don't know if it's clear. I think there was actually a specific person that was written about, but it's just great. It's like, hey, here's a song about obsession, and, you know, here's another song about it, like spiders.
There was the
and
which was
Spider-Man.
I know it was the one where I was like, I need to look up these lyrics. I don't understand what's going on in this song.
I think it's a Canadian thing about if you kill a spider, then it rains. I don't know if that is that a thing. Is that an old wives' tale?
Many countries have spider myths.
So is that the Canadian spider myth?
Yeah.
It's like a Nazi in Africa.
Yeah.
In Canada, it's if you kill a spider, it will rain.
If you kill a spider, it causes another Bare Naked Ladies album to be released.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
I had to get on that. Well, so anyway, so Steve, you know, has had a solo career mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm. As, like Zane.
Yeah, like Zane.
So, which my sister is a fan of because she's in love with Steve. Did you, by the way, when Zane left One Direction? Oh, I guess that was before you started being a fan.
Well, no, I was more of a, I was a casual.
You're a casual fan.
I was a fan of just the music.
Because I'm kind of curious, because, you know, there was all the reaction videos that people posted. And, you know, people had very strong emotions about it. And I think my sister also cried when Steve left Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah.
But you were probably at least emotionally.
Yeah, my thoughts were, well, I, you know, Zane needs to do what makes him happy and what feels right. So, and
he's,
I stand,
just a
and
young
even
boy.
Though I've learned more now, I still stand by that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree and understand, especially when you're in a band that was constructed for a television show.
And when you put out five albums in 5 years and are constantly touring across the entire world, you might maybe
want to
chill.
Yeah, maybe like,
and you're,
I don't
want to
do this anymore.
Of 22, so.
Yeah, I could totally understand.
I can understand why a fellow might want to take a break. And also maybe make music that he likes to make. So,
yeah.
But I understand it caused a lot of strife in the fandom and with the other fellas themselves. And it's a thing I think about a lot. Because sometimes I like to I like to outsource my emotional turmoil.
How does that work?
Well, my life is going pretty well right now. So things are pretty fine. So instead I can just like worry about celebrities.
Oh, so it's basically use that to be a sort of
to have I'm not worried about anything or feeling like stressed or angsty about anything. So instead, I'll just like start worrying if, you know, Liam and Zane are still friends. Like, how often they talk. Like,
yeah. I think I probably do that with TV shows that I get overly involved in. They're in a replacement for not having a particularly interesting life, personally.
It's so nice, deeply about these fictional things. If you can outsource your emotional turmoil, it's, you know. Mm-hmm. It shows that things are going all right.
So, let's get to your ranking.
My ranking.
For Bionicle Ladies. You get to establish what your scale is also.
I'm going to say, out of five Chickadee Chinas, the Chinese chickens, mm-hmm. I'm going to give Bare Naked Ladies 4.5 Chickadee Chinas.
Wow, that is the highest Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken rating that we have ever gotten on this show. And I don't say that lightly, because I've looked, I've done
the research. You checked the wiki. I did too.
I checked the wiki first, and I know.
Yeah, that's the highest ever
all-time high
received Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken ranking.
That is amazing. Yeah. So, wow, this is a big success all around. I think generally positive.
Yeah.
Overall,
I think you should dig a little deeper on the One Direction. I feel like there's.
I'm going to send you some links.
I feel like I gave you you took a very light course of One Direction. I'm going to listen to some more BNL.
It's good. So I think we've both grown. We've both developed some new interests, some new knowledge over the course of this episode.
A very good sun exchange.
It's a fruitful exchange.
We have so many good boys.
It's the goal. This is the real objective of this podcast, is to expand people's horizons. And I think that we've accomplished that with this episode. So with that, I think we can declare it a success. I hope you will be interested in coming back again.
Oh, definitely. So many good boys.
I'm so excited. I think there's a lot to probe. We talked about also going into different media types and genres.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of depths to be plumbed. Mm-hmm.
A lot of suns to be discussed.
A lot of boys. Get those boys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening, and thank you for being here with me and joining me on this adventure.
Thank you for having me on, and I hope to come back a lot.
Well, I'm certain you will. And that's it.
Still haven't worked at an outro yet.
I still haven't quite figured it out. How did ease out of a show?
Yep.
It's all right. We'll just go like this.